Let's open again tonight to Acts chapter 6. We want to look at the second half of the chapter from verse 9 to verse 15. And what we'll do tonight and then next Sunday is really look at the life of Stephen in two different ways. We'll kind of look at it in an overview here tonight, and try to take one important lesson to learn from it, and then we'll look at this account more specifically, verse by verse, beginning next Sunday, Lord willing. Of course, it's at least chapter 7 is a rather large portion of Scripture, so not sure if we'll look at that chapter in its entirety or not. Perhaps we will, and in at least an outline form next week. But let's begin reading at verse number 9. This is Acts chapter 6. It says, "Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." You know, it's interesting here, as you consider this text, it's very similar to some other portions of Scripture where the gospel encountered obstacles or resistance. Stephen, no doubt gifted by God with great wisdom, was able to preach and to teach in such a way that they couldn't refute what it is that he was saying. And I've often said that if we just clearly and concisely, you know, say and teach what the Bible has to say, there's no argument against it. You know, when you want to argue things from a pragmatic philosophy, you're always going to have people that will argue with you day in and day out. But whenever you, you know, simply say on the authority of the Word of God, you know, this is so or that is so, there's no arguing. There's no refuting against it. The Bible fits reality. The Bible is true. And that's why there is no one who's able to refute the wisdom of this book. But you know, that didn't silence the resistance. It didn't stop them from opposing Stephen and the other apostles. Instead, they just turned to other means to silence him. It says that they suborned men, that is, they bribed them to lie. You might say they were paid protesters. And you think this type of thing surely wouldn't happen today, but it does happen today. I was reading and listening last week as it was told of some of the protesters, you know, that are in the country today protesting certain things, that they're paid $1,500 a day to do what they do. And that's why when you stop and ask them many times why they're protesting and such, they have no clue why they're protesting, other than the fact that somebody paid them to do so. Now, that's not the case for all protesters, but it's the case for many of them. And here, this was the tactic of those who opposed Stephen. When they couldn't refute his ideas substantially, they turned, you know, to bribe men to lie about what he had said, and they sought to silence him in that way. So I just simply say that as it gives you some insight as to what is actually going on in the world today politically. But before we go further into tonight's message, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon it. Lord, I pray that you bless our time in your word tonight, and pray that you'd help us to learn something from the man Stephen tonight. Lord, may we, as we study the Scriptures, learn from each of the individuals whom you've felt to share with us with information about their lives. And Lord, no doubt this is because we can more easily relate to these accounts and to these individuals. And so, Lord, as we look and begin to look at the life of Stephen, might we glean much from what is here. And Lord, might we learn to be selfless, to die to self, and to give our lives for the work and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this in His name. Amen. You know, there are many people in the world today whose every move and whose every deed seems to be documented by the press, by their marketing team, or by their peers. Nothing that they do, nothing that they accomplish seems to go unnoticed. These are the people most of the world looks up to and admires. Yet many times there are individuals who receive absolutely no attention, no front page headlines, no authors seeking to write their biographies, and yet have made more of an impact on the world than anyone realizes. You have all no doubt heard of D.L. Moody, called the most effective evangelist America has ever known. But how many of you know the name of the Sunday school teacher who won D.L. Moody to the Lord? Who had the bigger ministry? D.L. Moody or the Sunday school teacher who won Mr. Moody to the Lord? While it is somewhat carnal to point out the bigness of someone's ministry, or especially to compare it to other individuals and their ministries, I only do it here this evening in order to set the stage for this message. Because we many times don't have the whole story on an individual's life. We are tempted to look, for instance, at Stephen's ministry and say that it was one of very little influence. After all, he only lived a short time, and there are only three portions of Scripture that ever mention his name. We see no direct conversions from his ministry, no huge cathedrals built, no large-scale mission projects, and only one sermon ever preached. Yet I'm prepared to say that Stephen had perhaps one of the largest ministries of any man in the New Testament. I want to point out to you three things about Stephen. First of all, I want you to see, and we understand this in part from what we looked at this morning, that he was a minister. That is, he was a deacon. He was a servant. As we looked this morning, there was a challenge that the apostles faced, that the church in Jerusalem faced as a result of their exponential growth. And when the Grecian widows had a complaint that they were being neglected and the Hebrew widows were being preferred and treated better, these deacons were called to meet that need and to go out and to minister to the Grecian widows. Stephen was one of those who was called. By the way, when you read the last part of chapter 6 and chapter 7 as a whole, you kind of get the impression that Stephen had a much larger ministry than that to the Grecian widows. Verse number 8 was the last verse that we looked at this morning of chapter 6. Says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Here he was disputing with some of the religious leaders of other sects. And he's to preach to a huge audience in chapter number 7. But his ministry, though it was short-lived, his ministry began by serving widows. Probably tells you something about this man, that he was humble. And the Lord would have us all to be humble servants, viewing no task too small for us. But if there's something that needs to be done, we should seek to meet the need. He ministered so effectively, not just to the widows, but in witnessing and such, that he was viewed as a threat to these different sects mentioned in verse number 9. You could say he was hated by the Christ rejectors. You know, it doesn't always reflect poorly upon someone when certain people hate them. You know, in following politics for years, I've heard different political commentators, you know, state when a certain crowd, you know, hates you and is, you know, opposed to you vocally and aggressively, that's probably the kind of person, you know, as a conservative you want to vote for. You know, because if the left, you know, is just ranting and raving and going on and on and on about them, it's because they view them as a serious threat. And of course, so often when that happens politically, those candidates are, you know, brushed off into oblivion because people cave in to the pressure. But some contend those are the ones you need at the forefront, because they're the ones that will really make a difference, and that's why some are screaming so loudly. Well, if that was the case for Stephen, then certainly he was being effective in his ministry for the Lord. So he was a minister. He began serving the widows, the Grecian widows. But we see that's not all that he was engaged in. He also, we'll see in the next chapter, was a martyr for the gospel. We read in chapters 7 and 8 that Stephen was stoned to death after his encounter with these religious leaders. And some might assume that his ministry would stop there, but if we were to assume that, we would be wrong, because God had a greater cause in mind, an even greater cause than Stephen himself. You know, that would be good for each of us to remember, that the cause we serve, we could even say the person that we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, is much greater than ourselves. And if we be used as a pawn to somehow reflect glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, then so be it. If by our name being excluded from the headlines can cause further glory to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then so be it. Because our service for him is not about us. It's not about what we accomplish. It's not about the name that we can make for ourselves. No, it's all about Jesus Christ. And while we see this illustrated in the lives of many people in the Bible, boy, perhaps no greater individual demonstrates that than the life of Stephen. Because Stephen gives his life. And I'll show you how that by doing so, Christ received greater glory. Notice in Acts chapter 8, in the first four verses, and I believe as you read these passages, you see the greater purpose that God had in mind for allowing Stephen to be stoned to death. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem." And folks, I think we see that culminating at the stoning of Stephen. It says, "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." The apostles, they remained back in Jerusalem, but everybody else as a result of the persecution, was scattered. It says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, the same type of thing is stated in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. I'm sorry, that's verse 20, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Notice the first part of that passage. It references the stoning of Stephen and what resulted in that. They which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Again, this was the climax of the persecution that existed in Jerusalem. It was also the precursor for God's people being scattered abroad. They would never have went everywhere preaching the gospel had persecution not come and had not Stephen been stoned. You see, Stephen was a martyr for the gospel. And the gospel extended beyond Jerusalem to Judea and into Samaria, and eventually unto the uttermost part of the world because of what happened in the life of Stephen. He was a martyr. He was a minister, a martyr. But you know, he was also something that resulted in or motivated the Saul of Tarsus to be saved. And we noticed that also at the beginning of chapter number 8. Who was present at the stoning of Stephen? I mean, we're told of some of the sects that took part in it, but here we're told and given an individual's name, and that individual is Saul of Tarsus. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Perhaps he gave the command. He orchestrated it. He was the person primarily responsible for it taking place. And I don't know, but I imagine that Saul didn't sleep much after this until the day that he would meet the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Because you see, Saul saw Stephen's face shine like an angel. Saul heard Stephen give that convincing sermon throughout chapter number 7. He heard Stephen calling upon God as he died. And he heard Stephen to ask the Lord to lay not this sin to their charge. And he said those words with his final breath. When Paul later was rehearsing his own salvation experience in Acts chapter 22, he mentions Stephen. He says in verse 20, this is Acts 22:20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. You know, a lot of times when people give their testimonies in regards to how they were converted, they will mention people who played a part in it. And Saul of Tarsus, or the Apostle Paul, mentioned one man by name. and that was Stephen. You know, when I consider what happened to Stephen here, I thought about each of us. And you know, it'd be better for us to serve on the mission field for one day and die of a hanging at the hands of an angry man who's brought to Christ as a result, rather than store up wealth untold in America without ever seeking God's will. You know, we sometimes think we have to have 40 years of service for our lives to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Stephen didn't have 40 years. God did not give to him a lengthy ministry. He had a very short ministry. But you know, his ministry made a difference. It made a difference to begin with in the lives of those Grecian widows. And by the way, when I think about this, I think about how the Bible tells us that he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. But if we're not faithful in little, how can God trust us with true riches? Things of greater significance. Well, Stephen was faithful to minister to those widows, and he made a difference in their lives. And he made a difference in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Yes, he had to die to have such an impact. But you know, just as we consider whether or not D.L. Moody had the greater influence on the world or the Sunday school teacher who brought him to the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, did the Apostle Paul have the greater influence upon the world? Or did Stephen? Because just as that little Sunday school teacher plays a part in every sinner that D.L. Moody won to the Lord, so does Stephen play a part in every message that the Apostle Paul preached. Because without Stephen, there would be no Apostle Paul. So what can we learn from the life of Stephen? You know, sometimes what seems as insignificant or even negative in a person's life can be used for far greater things than you or I could ever have imagined. It's easy when we look at this account and look at it in hindsight, look at it backwards, having already been fulfilled, having already been completed, to see how God used it. But you know, those that were living in Jerusalem in that day, those that had trusted Christ, they couldn't see how God was going to use that. They could not see the magnitude of the consequences of Stephen's stoning. And you know, when we encounter similar things in our lives, we won't be able to immediately see the consequences of what we're going through. We have no means to know how God is going to use it, but I think we should be encouraged by the life of Stephen and what transpires here. Perhaps it's a means by which God will bring to Himself greater glory. We also learn that even though there was very little said about Stephen and his ministry, and even though his life was cut short by stoning, he had a huge impact on the world. And again, I don't know that it's always wise to measure the amount of impact that we have on the world. I think it's our responsibility to simply surrender our lives to the Lord and let Him use us however He wants. And probably not take very much time in considering how great or how little the Lord has used us. But we are but flesh, and we sometimes wonder, don't we? We wonder whether or not our lives are significant. We wonder whether or not they make a difference. Well, we just need to be confident that if we surrender to the Lord and allow Him to guide us and lead us and use us as He sees fit, that He'll make a difference with us. He'll do with us as He chooses. And maybe in respect to the world standards, it will be significant achievements. Maybe they would seem much smaller. But the servant of Christ, who's faithful in little, who's faithful in his responsibility, will be rewarded equally to those that are given greater responsibilities. So here we find that Stephen's death attributed to the spread of the gospel message. It took a martyr to scatter believers from Jerusalem unto the other parts of the world. So while it might appear that Stephen's life was short and uninfluential, God had a huge purpose for it. Not only was the gospel spread to other areas, though, Saul of Tarsus was also saved as a result. Again, my purpose in giving to you this message this evening is just to encourage us to surrender our lives to the Lord. Whatever that might entail, say, "Here am I, Lord, send me, here am I, use me, in whatever way you see fit." Of course, He might use us like He did Stephen. We might be called upon to suffer a great hardship, yet it would result in God receiving glory. Well, isn't that what our primary purpose for living is? To glorify God? And God's the one that gets to determine how we can best glorify Him. You know, as a preacher and as a pastor, God has saw fit to put other men in larger ministries with seemingly greater amounts of influence in the world. Well, that's His prerogative. And He's placed me in Shepherdsville, a much smaller ministry, which might not appear to have as great an influence in the world. But that's God's prerogative. Whatever will bring Him glory. And if we bring glory to the Lord by living a long, faithful life to Him, then amen. But if we bring greater glory to the Lord by living a short life, martyred, if you will, for some greater purpose, then that's His prerogative and something that we should be content with. So there's a lot here to consider when we consider the life of Stephen. And might each of us seek to be like Stephen, a humble servant, to serve in whatever capacity God calls us upon, but then also to go through whatever it is that God would have us to go through if it would bring Him further honor and glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the things that we can learn from it. And Lord, I know there's a tremendous amount of information that's given to us here in regards to the life of Stephen. But I simply just wanted to touch upon one basic truth surrounding his life, and that is how You used his death to bring further glory to Thyself. And Lord, I'm sure that Stephen was content with this lot for his life. And might we be content with wherever You have placed us. Might we be content in whatever manner You choose to use us, so long as we can be used of Thee to bring glory to Thy name. So take the message and use it in the hearts and lives of Your people. Use it for Thy glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would.